I'm on the road with Governor Mike Braun, and let's talk about some of the priorities of the Braun administration. You know, first things first, in your State of the State address some weeks ago, you mentioned farmers. You know that rural Indiana, it's what got you elected. It's what puts you in the governorship. I mean, this is an important area of Indiana, and you mentioned farmers specifically and certain priorities for them. Just what are those priorities that you've laid out for those folks?
Well, the main discussion, of course, has been property taxes, and that got enough attention that it became Senate Bill 1. Three components to it, and that's to limit future increases. That part is mostly accomplished, because had we had these restrictions on the bills themselves, it would have actually worked even during inflation. So, since we hadn't had inflation for a long, long time, the circuit breakers did a pretty good job until inflation was unleashed by the federal government on the borrow and spend approach. You can see how hard that is to get rid of, and now it's settling down. But from 21, when it started, through 24, you know, we've probably gone through inflation, as you measure it, across that stretch of time, somewhere in the 20 to 25% range. And you got local governments and school districts that depend on property taxes as their main resource. Taxpayers are getting burdened, especially when the bills go way beyond covering your costs and a reasonable growth quotient. That's, I think, how we'll land the plane here in the second half. And no one likes to give up what they've become accustomed to, and all of us believe that local government is where the rubber meets the road, and we want our school districts healthy. I served on a school district for 10 years, so I remember that, but we didn't have this issue to get through. So when we're done, I think it'll be a place where taxpayers will see that we've made it to where it can't happen in the future, because we got to focus on the bill, not just a percent, two or three of assessed values, which of course can go through the roof to reflect inflation, which that happened.
Looking also specifically for farmers and the assessed value of farmland, I know that out there there's House Bill 1192 with language from Kendall Culp, and I know he's hoping that gets through there somewhere. The assessed value of farmland is out of control. Yep. We're talking huge increases over the past several years. Where in this plan for property tax reform can we fit this in for farmers and find some relief for them so that we can get this next generation back to the farm?
Well, you know, farm ground is one of those kinds of real estate that when things are really working well, it goes up, because look at the land prices now. And then you throw inflation on top of it, it accelerates it. The problem with the farming business is it's not only the land, it's the equipment too. It is a high octane elevation business in terms of what you got to do to be in it for the cost of the ground and the cost of equipment. So when it comes to personal property taxes, that's something that we're looking at, and hopefully we'll get some relief on it. But when it comes to how ground is assessed, it was changed to a market-based system, and the way it's constructed currently, there's a lagging effect to it. But the thing is, we haven't seen farm ground really do anything but go up and then maybe reach a plateau. So a lot of that's the underlying demand for farm ground itself. So the key thing is, when you know that assessed values are going up, you got to make sure that when you set the tax rate, that you're in farming communities keeping that in mind. And if the main taxpayer is the farmer and not a homeowner, if you don't have commercial and industrial in the category 3, that actually has, you know, it's stayed pretty steady. And up until recently, there were separation among the three, where they'd be almost proportionately based upon that 1, 2, and 3%. Then homes got skewed even worse than farm ground. That looks like a hockey stick in terms of going up through those 3 years. So farm ground is going to be beset by the fact that it costs a lot more than what it used to through just market conditions, which gets reflected into the new way of evaluating it. And then you got to be careful about what tax rate you apply to it. So to me, the most important thing is when the local governments and the boards that are around setting the tax rate, they've got to be sensitive to it. Because some of it, I don't think we're going to get away from ground appreciating. If that happens, then it makes it more complicated to secure an operating loan and some of the other things. But we're attentive to it. And farmers are the one business that the margin never seems to inflate along with inflation. You've got good Board of Trade prices, well, you still make so much per acre. They don't seem to go up proportionately, and that's another thing we need to be cognizant of when we're setting property tax rates and bills.
As far as some other things you mentioned during your State of the State address for farmers, you mentioned language again, another bill from Kendall Culp that talks about what can be done for retiring farmers. Yep. And beginning farmers. Touch on that. This, again, trying to get farmers to the next generation. It's critical that we do this. We're losing farm ground at a pretty alarming rate. And again, bringing that next generation back is critical.
So a farm savings account, I think that needs to be there. When you do have the good years, you're going to benefit from it to where you can lard it away. When you're passing a farm from one generation to the next, that's even gotten more complicated due to the land values we've been talking about here just a little bit ago. And we're working on something to make that easier to do through estate credit. So also trying to get a portal put together for all the issues farmers deal with, where you can go to one place in our state government, and if you got an issue, see where you can find help. So we're open to any good ideas. I mean, manufacturing is, Indiana's the biggest manufacturing state per capita. Agriculture, it's right up there. And, you know, that is the essence and the foundation for probably 70 of our 92 counties. We don't have manufacturing in a lot of the rural counties, so we got to keep that in mind too.
Last question here for me, Governor, as we discuss what's happening at the state level and matching it to what's happening at the federal level as well. We've been talking recently about tariffs and what's happening on the trade outlook here for the U.S., 25% on Mexico and Canada, an additional 10% on China, reciprocal tariffs around the world. You mentioned, you know, manufacturing and agriculture. If we look at our goods here, we're talking about corn to Mexico. We're talking about, you know, things coming from Canada. We're talking about timber. We're talking about hardwoods. Indiana, many don't know, in the agriculture space, Indiana is huge in the hardwood space.
Value added into our timber and log production is near what it is through agriculture, because you put so much additional value into it. Both very important. I'm involved in both of them, which gives me some insight into how that works. So,
absolutely. What is the outlook for Indiana with all of these tariffs, and what do we hope is the outcome? What do you believe the intended outcome?
I pay close attention to the word reciprocal, because sometimes a tariff is going to be to get better behavior. Well, illegal crossings have gone from record highs under the Biden administration to now record lows. No legislative change other than maybe the threat of something. And that was one issue about tariffs. The other would be about some of the other things where you're getting a tariff from those countries that then don't enable us to be competitive. So I think you're going to see tariffs basically going to the point of being reciprocal. When it comes to China, that's different. That is, and by the way, they are a trading economy. We're an economy that mostly supports itself from what we do within our own country. That's why everybody wants to come here and get part of it and sell us stuff. And if they want to do that, they're going to have to realize that if you want to produce it, bring it here, which some already have started to do. Honda, for instance. Apple has talked about that. And farmers, we sell a commodity. And, you know, if we add value to it, that's one thing. But a lot of times we don't have that margin in ag products, like manufacturing would. So you'll see some of the places that are now being having to talk about, well, this is a tariff that's the same amount as what you're tariffing us. So they'll have a decision to make. Or are you going to maybe absorb some of it from the exporting companies in other countries? And will the importers absorb some of it? Because I think all of them know this is just to get to a point where it's free and fair trade. And I'm not willing to go beyond that, other than when you've got bad actors that are even doing things that we haven't discussed, where you got to use it to make a point. So agriculture always seems to be caught in that crossfire. And a lot of times when they put countervailing tariffs on, it's aimed at farmers for the political aspect of that. And we know what happened last time. There was some stuff done to help farmers get through that. So we'll see. This is, I think, got to be addressed sooner or later, or else we are subsidizing through our own economy unfair trade practices that others have gotten used to.
So like President Trump said last night to Congress, bear with them?
I think so, because when you've been tolerating something that's created a perennial imbalance in trade accounts, sooner or later you're going to have to fix it. And hopefully the industries that are most vulnerable to that happening will get some consideration in the process. Or maybe they'll just say, hey, he's finally telling the truth. If you want the tariffs to go down, lower yours to the level you'd like ours to be at. Wouldn't that make sense?
Governor Mike Braun, thanks for joining us on Hoosier Ag Today.
My pleasure.